Saturday. This Saturday, 1:45, Long Meadow Nursing Home. Take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the title of my message this evening is, Be Ready. Be Ready. You know, when we are, there we go, that's a little louder. Oh, I didn't even set Mary's hearing aid off. All right, you know you're loud when you set Mary's hearing aid off. 1 Peter 3, 15, be ready. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of being in your house. Lord, how many people, Lord, want to meet in your house and they have no church to go to? God, we thank you for our church. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our country. God, we are free to come, Lord, and meet as many times as we want. Lord, in the name of the Lord, what a blessing that is. Lord, we don't take that for granted. God, in ages in the past, Lord, it has not been a free to meet in the house of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help our hearts tonight to be calm and still before you. God, I pray that you'd help us to push out our busy lives and busy schedules and everything else we got going on, Lord, and help us to focus our hearts on you tonight. Father, help me, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, my message is be ready. The scripture implores us to be ready. Now, tonight, I'm not going to be bombastic. I hope to be an encouragement to you. I want to teach you tonight of some things that the scriptures say that we need to be ready for. This is an exhortation to all of us to be ready. Now, what does it take to be ready? In a general sense, it takes three things to be ready. Number one, it takes purpose. If you are going to be ready for something, you need to have a purpose and a plan, right? We always encourage people, working in the insurance business, we encourage people to be disaster ready, all right? If you live, for folks that live in, say, New Orleans or in the South, along the coast, they need to be ready. They need to have a plan. You know, when the hurricane comes, is not the time to say, gee, we live in Miami, and there's a hurricane coming. I wonder what we're going to do. All right? Bad time to plan. All right? Very bad time to plan. You are in a situation, you're a Christian. Most of you here tonight, I would imagine, are Christians. You're here tonight. You're at church. Tomorrow, you get up, you go to work. This thing's bothering me. We'll throw over to Ty. Ty moves less. You go to work or you go to the store and somebody says, hey, don't you go to Bethel Baptist Church? Are you ready? Are you purposed in your life that there are certain things as a Christian you're going to be ready for? We make sure we're ready for our bills. We make sure we're ready to come to church. We make sure we're ready to go to work. Why? Because you have a purpose in your mind that, you know what, there's something I want to accomplish and I want to be ready. So number one, you have to have a purpose. Number two, to be ready indicates that you have done some preparation. If you're going to be ready, you need to not only have a purpose to say, you know what, this is something I want to do. You need to be prepared. If you're going to be ready to go to work tomorrow morning, for all you retired folks, God bless you out there. All right. All right. My father-in-law enjoying basking in his retirement. All right. Saunters out of the bed at any time of the day he wants, except when mom cracks the whip. Okay. And, but you know what? For those of us who've got to show up tomorrow morning, we've got to be prepared. I have to leave my house around 7:15 in the morning to make sure I miss all the kiddies getting on the bus and make sure I work my way through traffic and I miss all the stoplights and railroad tracks and everything else along my way. And, you know, accounting for some delays, some jerk that's going 20 miles an hour down the road ahead of me, all right? I got to make sure that I got to leave at 7:15. So if I got up at 7:12 out of bed and I hadn't pressed my clothes off or packed my lunch or rinsed a little bit of water through my hair or brushed my nasty teeth, I'm not going to be prepared if I get up at 7:12 to be out the door at 7:15. Now, I've seen some people roll into work that were not prepared, all right? They left unprepared and it was a poor performance, okay? It was a sad showing that day at work. You can tell. Solid wrinkles all the way down. Bad breath in the morning. They were unprepared to meet their day. If we're going to be prepared for Jesus, If we're going to be ready, we need to be prepared for Jesus. We need to say, you know what? I've got a plan. I've got a purpose in my heart. I'm a Christian. And I want to be ready for whatever God may bring my way, whatever opportunities that I have to share Jesus Christ. And so that's my purpose. Now I need to get prepared. How do I do that? You're doing exactly what you're doing tonight. You come to church when the doors are open. That's how you get prepared. There is no mystic. It's not like you have to go off and meditate. You don't have to go off and go to Bible college if that's not what God has called you to do. It's a great thing to go to Bible college. I don't know if you're 16 or 60. If you have the desire to learn more, it's a great thing to go study God's Word. But if we're going to be ready for the things of God, we need to prepare. All right? You go to somebody that to do their your taxes, and you saunter into their office to do their have them do your taxes, and they're like, "Well, do you have your paperwork?" "Nah, I didn't bring that." "Did you bring any of your receipts?" "Nah, I didn't bother with all of that." The guy's going to say, look at you and laugh and say, "You're not ready to do your taxes because you're not prepared. You didn't do your homework. You didn't do that which you needed to do to get you ready to what you wanted to do." And if you and I want to be ready for the Lord, if you and I want to be ready scribes, as it said, says of the Bible says of Ezra, if you and I want to be ready for whatever God brings us, we need to have some preparedness. That means that every day there should be a little bit of time. Maybe you can afford a lot of time. If you can afford a lot of time, you need to spend a lot of time in God's Word. But if you can't afford a lot of time, then you need to at least spend a little bit of time studying God's Word. You need to read God's Word. This will help build you and strengthen you. You need to be prepared. You need to listen to preaching. That's why you come to church. Preaching is kind of like, it's an opportunity for a man of God to take the Word of God and take some truth. I'm going to pull scriptures from probably six different, chapters or books in the Bible tonight. And so preaching is kind of, we bring it all together and say, here it is. Go think about this. Go ruminate on it. Go chew on that for a little while. Digest it. Assimilate it. And so we bring it to you, and hopefully the whole point of preaching is so that we can take the truths of God's Word and kind of bring them together and say in a compact and understandable form so that you can grow from it. All right? It's kind of like a multivitamin. You can't live on just multivitamins, but multivitamins help you live, right? Amen. So you need to have a purpose. You need to be prepared. Number three, you need to have some perception. I'm a preacher that loves alliteration. Can you tell? All right. Can I get an amen? All right. Perception. You and I, if we're going to be ready for what God wants us to do, we need to be aware of what God's doing in our life. All right. Somebody comes up and says, "Hey, where do you go to church?" It's not the time to say, "Man, did you watch the Steelers game on Sunday? Wow, were they good?" All right. No, you just missed it. All right. Missed the opportunity. All right. I had a lady today. It was totally unexpected. I don't even really work with this lady. She works in another department. I vaguely know her. I walk in this morning. I'm just in the door. I went in the break room to get some hot water for my tea. And she goes, "Just the person I wanted to see." Okay. What do I do now? All right. Or I didn't do it. If I didn't, maybe I should have. She says, "You know, I got a situation on my hands." So there's a lady who I know is lying. What do I do with that? I mean, it's not even 8 o'clock yet. I haven't even gone over and logged into my computer yet. And here there's an opportunity. I could have said, "Look, lady, I'm busy. I've got things to prepare for." But we need to have some perception, some awareness. There was an opportunity for me to say, "Hey, why don't we step aside, go over here in the break room, and let's talk about this." I could tell it was a matter that was burdening her heart. And it was an opportunity for me to share just a few simple biblical truths with her. And it was a blessing to her day. So if we're going to be ready, there need to be three things that happen in our life. Number one, we need to want to be ready. I would say you're here on a Wednesday night. It's nasty. It's cold outside. You've got to have that desire. I don't believe you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't want to be ready. I don't think anybody held a gun to you, all right, to make you want to come here tonight.
But are we willing to go that next step and say, I'm going to invest the time, I'm going to spend the time that it takes to be ready. I want to be ready. And I think most Christians are there. They want to be ready. But how do I get ready? The simple steps that we tell you over and over again, the simple truths, read your Bible, spend time in prayer. These aren't simple anecdotal truths that we just harp on because it fills up time in the message. They are timeless truths of God's Word. They are the simple building blocks to growing into strong faith. And number three, have some perception. Now, it takes time. One of the things that I shared with the lady, I said, you know, you need to know how is she going to receive it. I said, there's going to be one or two responses to your interaction. I said, but it's going to take some awareness on your part. If that person is totally unprepared and unwilling to take any feedback, I said, the Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine. You're going to lay your heart out there and you're going to have your heart trampled on because they could care less. I said, but if on the other hand they have a teachable spirit, the Bible says you can win your brother. You have an opportunity to mend that relationship and help lift them up in the Lord. I said, but it depends on are they teachable? Do they have a willing spirit? But to do that, you have to be perceptive. So three prior preparations to being ready. Now, what does the Bible say to be ready for? Very quickly. All right. Number one, and we find this in our text verse tonight in 1 Peter 3:15. We know how to get ready now. Now, what do I need to get ready for? What does the Bible say you ought to be ready for? Number one, the Bible says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What hope do we have? We have the hope of Jesus Christ. The hope that's in you is the hope of heaven. Man, if you're going to heaven tonight, we need to be excited about that. We need to be ready to say, I got some great news to share with you. I'm going to heaven and I'd like you to know how to go to heaven. You have an opportunity. I had somebody else. The Lord's been really blessing the last few months with opportunities of people. When you work in a professional company, a company that really, you can be anything. In corporate America, you can be anything but a fundamental Christian anymore. Okay? And that's the truth. All right? And so there's a fine line. I talked about this in my Sunday school class. All right? If you're going to have the audacity to take their paycheck, the paycheck from your company, you need to have the ethics to comply with what your company's asking. If the company's ethical stand is beyond what you can comply to, you need to get another job. And you need to be honest about it. All right? So that, you know what? When I'm at work, I'm there to work. All right? I'm there to put my 8 in, plus do a great job and put in a good product. Now, I have the opportunity to do that with a good testimony. I have an opportunity to do that with a Bible on my shelf, Jesus post stickers everywhere on my desk. All right, I had a manager tell me to take that down one time. When I was studying to be, preparing to be in leadership, she's like, no, you need to take that down. I said, no, I'm going to leave it right there. All right? They don't like that. Whatever. You know? That's your opinion. My boss comes and tells me to take it down. That's a different story. All right? I have an opportunity to do it with a sweet spirit and a testimony for Jesus Christ. We need to be ready, number one, to explain the hope of Jesus Christ. We live in a world filled with people who have no hope. Folks, I do not know how people make it. You know what I do? I've had an opportunity in the last couple months to spend some time out of the office on business trips and things like that. You know what I found? You know what people run to? It shocks me, amazes me. People soak their lives with alcohol. They soak their lives and their misery and their heartache and their loneliness and their problems in alcohol. I went back to my boss and said, I can improve the bottom line of our company no less than 10%. Cut out all the booze on travel. Cut out all the booze on, they're like, you know? I mean, I was like, I was indignant. I was shocked and just in awe. And I thank God I don't have, you know, that's not a part of my life at all. There is a benefit to growing up in a Christian home that holds the line. There's never beer in my refrigerator. There was never wine on my counters at home. And it's not a part of my experience, and I thank God for that. Don't think your kids are missing something from growing up in a Christian home where you hold the line. It was shocking to me, and it should be shocking to me. It should be shocking to you. That's how people do it. They soak their lives in alcohol. You look at the amount of alcohol and booze this country consumes. It is staggering. By the way, I think I might have mentioned this in Sunday school. See all the things you miss in Sunday school? You ought to come to my Sunday school class. Do you know that the, I shared it over in Super Church. Do you know what happened to Mr. Anheuser-Busch? Do you know what happened to him after he made his millions and millions and millions of dollars rotting the hearts and lives out of families in America? He took a gun and blew his brains out because he was miserable and hollow and empty. That's the king of beer right there. Brother Mike. That's right. That's absolutely right. Number one, we need to be ready to explain the hope we have in Jesus Christ. I don't need to pick up a glass of wine. I got the new wine of the Holy Spirit of God in me. Let me tell you something. It's better than anything that they've ever tasted. I've got heavenly vintage. We need to explain to people how to get saved. We need to know the simple Romans road steps of how to open your Bible and take about five verses and lead somebody to Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Rob, I'm a young Christian and maybe I'm scared. Let me tell you something. We can get it down to two things. What you were before you met Jesus and how you met Jesus. Well, three things. How you met Jesus and what your life is like after Jesus. If you can get that in your heart, what your life was like before Jesus. How you met Jesus and got saved. And what your life is like after Jesus, you can be powerful and effective as the woman at the well of Sychar. You can lead multitudes to Christ. Now, you ought to get a little Bible training under it. You ought to be able to open your Bible and show people from the Word of God how they can be saved. Number one, we need to be ready to share the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, number two, take your Bibles and turn all the way back into the Old Testament to 1 Chronicles 12:24, and we find the second thing that God says we need to be ready for. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 24. The Bible says, and the children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed for war. The second thing the Bible says we ought to be ready for as Christians is ready for spiritual warfare. There's going to be times when you share Jesus Christ or have a testimony for Jesus Christ, and this world is going to push back on you. How dare you tell me how to live? How dare you tell me that that's wrong? How dare you say homosexuality is against God's foreordained plan for a man and a woman? How dare you tell me not to drink? How dare you tell me I have to go to church? How dare you tell me I have to go get saved? My friends, we need to be ready, armed with the fact that you and I are going to face pushback from this world. It's just like turning on a light in a cockroach-filled room, man. They're gone. They don't like the light. I've never been in a bar. Thank God I've never been in a bar. But I've seen pictures. I'd love to go in there with just turn on every light. And at one shot, man, they'd all be running, you know. Everybody running like cockroaches out the back door. All right? The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light, lest their evil deeds be reproved. We need to be ready for war. You need to be ready when that person comes up and challenges you about your faith. We need to be ready for people to come up and oppose us because we're Christians. We need to be ready for that. We're caught on unawares. We're caught shocked and dismayed. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to share Jesus. But number two, we need to be ready and understand that this world doesn't understand us. This world doesn't appreciate us, and this world would like nothing more than to see us just keep to ourselves. We need to be ready, number two, for war. Number three, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, and verse 1. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, and verse 1. This is a tremendous one right here. This is a tremendous verse. The Bible says, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Folks, we should be very ready to hear. We spend too much of our time talking. I don't know if you've ever worked with somebody that likes to hear themselves talk, but it's annoying, all right? You get around somebody that likes to hear themselves talk. You get on the phone with them. You can't get a word in edgewise. All right. You're trying to have a conversation and it's just a monologue. All right. And you put the phone down. And, okay. You know, you go back to them. They're still going. Is that you, Nicole? All right. All right. Nicole Brands. Hi, my name's Nicole and I have a problem. All right.
Sorry, we won't use last names because we're going to put Sonny on the internet. All right, Nicole. All right, there we go. We need to be ready to hear. You know when we need to be ready? The Bible says when you come into the house of God. We need to be ready to hear from God. Folks, you need to spend time quietly. We live in a world that is saturated by sound. It is a rarity that you can go anywhere and it's just quiet. We need to be ready to hear. We spend so much of our day cluttered with news and radio and TV and everything else that we rarely turn it off and listen to what God has to say to our hearts. Secondly, when you're dealing with people, you know what the thing that people want to know more than anything? That you care about them. An old adage they taught me long ago. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People want to know that you really care about them. I read a thing, I read a quote by Colin Powell the other day on leadership. He says, if you're in leadership, expect people to bring you their problems. If people aren't bringing, if your people under you are not bringing you their problems, then one of two things has happened. One, they've lost confidence in your leadership. Or number two, they're convinced that you just don't care about them. And the people that we have in our life, if they really don't think that we care about them, they're not going to share our problems with us. The reason that lady came to me this morning, I'm nothing special. There's hundreds of Christians where I work. But she knew that she could come to me and I'd shut my mouth and I could listen. And I'd find out what's going on. We need to be ready to hear, especially when it comes to the Lord. When you come into the house of God, listen to what's being said. Listen to what is being preached. God is speaking through His Word. I don't care who's up here preaching. God is speaking through His Word and can speak to your heart. And you and I need to take time in our day to sit down, turn the radio off, turn the TV off, read God's Word, and contemplate on it. That's true meditation. Meditation is not sitting down with your legs crossed with orange saffron robes on going, all right, that's hooey. All right, the Bible talks about meditation. Meditation is what a cow does. All right, meditation is taking something and you chew on it a little bit. All right, you chew on it a little bit, you chew on it a little bit more, and you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it. That's meditation. We need to be ready to hear. Number four, we need to be ready in Matthew. Take your Bibles, Matthew 24, 44. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, we find the next thing that the Bible says that we ought to be ready for. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. So number one, we need to be ready to share Christ. Number two, we need to be ready for war. Number three, we need to be ready to hear. Number four, we need to be ready for Jesus' return. Matthew 24, 44. The Bible says that, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Folks, Jesus is coming back. I'm not sure if you got a hold of that, but Jesus really is coming back. He could come back tonight. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't have to go to work tomorrow. What a fantastic thing that would be. I wouldn't have to face the problems of tomorrow. Wouldn't have to face all the devastation and heartache. But folks, it's really going to happen. And I believe it's going to happen soon. I really do. I believe as you look out, I believe that our days are as the day of Noah. I believe it's a day of overriding wickedness and a turning away from God. I really do. I don't know if it's going to be tonight. I don't know if it'll be 50 years from now. I don't think it'll be that long of time. But you never know. God does things in His own way. I don't know if you've noticed that. We need to be ready for Jesus' return. Is your life, are you ready to meet God tonight? If your life would end, or if Christ would come back, are you ready to meet God? Is your life, is your account square with God? Have you met with Him today? Have you talked with Him today? Are there issues that you have unresolved? Are there things that you want to accomplish for Him? We need to be ready. We need to be ready every day for Jesus to come back. Number five, we need to be ready for prison and death. This is a reality that we don't face here in America, but it is faced every day by Christians around this world. Take your Bibles and look in Acts chapter 21 and verse 13. Acts chapter 21 and verse 13. We need to be ready, not only for the good times, but the bad times. In Acts chapter 21, the Apostle Paul speaking here, he says, the Bible says in Acts 21:13, then Paul answered,
What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Folks, I believe there's coming a day where it's not going to be so easy. Whether we'll actually face imprisonment or death, I don't know. But America is an odd country. We enjoy a liberty and a freedom unknown around this world. And I've been in places, I have personally been in places where it is against the law to convert to Christ. It's been against the law to share your faith in Christ. I've been in places where people have had to run and hide. I've been in places where people have been forsaken and dumped by their families, young girls, because they've converted to Christ and said, Mom and Dad, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. They've been cast out in the street to die. I've met them people. Folks, we need to be ready for prison and death. That is a harsh reality that is just so foreign to us in America. And I thank God that it is. And you and I need to thank God every day we live in a country where we can preach and we can share Christ. But if you look at the liberties that Christians enjoy, it keeps shrinking. It keeps shrinking. Every year it gets a little bit tougher. Every year the culture has changed again. The hearts are a little harder. The laws are a little more stringent. Piece by piece by piece, they have eroded the religious rights this country was founded on. And now the rights that you have are the rights to be as weird and as sinful and as decadent and as immoral as you want. If you want to parade down the street naked, you would be allowed more than standing on that street and preaching the glorious and eternal salvation of Jesus Christ. And that's a truth in America. We need to be ready. Number six, we need to be ready to preach the gospel. This is different from what in 1 Peter 3:15. In 1 Peter 3:15, it discusses a private conversation. All right, someone comes up and says, "I want to know what's different about you. I want to know why your life is, why you have hope when it's so hopeless." My mother's had the opportunity countless times. People remark, "I don't know how you do it," and she says, she writes out Jesus Christ. She shares with them because I am born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And people are amazed. This is a public proclamation. Turn to Romans 1:15. Romans 1:15. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Romans 1:15. Paul says, "I am ready to preach the gospel." If you get an opportunity to share Jesus Christ, to preach Jesus Christ, then you need to take it. But you need to be ready. You need to be ready to preach Jesus Christ. You need to be able to open your Bible, just like the man in the book of Acts, and it was Philip who went alongside the chariot, the Ethiopian, and had his Bible open to Isaiah and said, "Let me show you what that Bible is talking all about. It's talking all about Jesus Christ." And Paul, as yet, he had the opportunity to go up in many places and be in open forums and say, "I'm ready to preach Jesus." We need to be ready to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ because it is the only thing that will make a difference in their life. It truly is. We need to get that deep in our hearts. We need to get that deep in our hearts that the only thing that's going to make a true difference in anybody's life is Jesus Christ. We need to be ready to preach the gospel. Number seven, and lastly, we need to be ready to do good works. Take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Titus chapter 3, way back in the end of the Pauline epistles. Timothy and then Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. The apostle speaking here to his young preacher boy, he says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrate, and to be ready to every good work." We need to be ready to serve God. When the pastor calls and says, "Hey, we have a need," all right? I'm nothing, but if I say, "Hey, can you help me do this?" You know what the right response is? "Yes, let me help you do this. If you can, help me out." If you're asked to serve God, serve God. If you have the opportunity to help somebody out, help them out. The Bible says we need to be ready to good works. I often think of the story of the Good Samaritan. He was ready. He had prepared himself ahead of time. But though he might have been late, you know, times they have changed in some essence. But as you study the scriptures, you know what? I believe that Samaritan wasn't just whistling Dixie down the road looking for somebody to pick up. He was on his way. He was a man, I believe, of commerce, business. He was a man that he had some wits and responsibility about him. He had some substance to him. He had some things to take care of. But you know what? He was willing to stop and to do what was right. I'm sure it put him behind schedule. I'm sure it was an inconvenience to his day to stop, to take up that man, to pour, to bind up his wounds, to pour in the oil and the wine, to put him on his beast, to take him out of the way to the inn and take care of him. And then to make sure he had follow up and care for him. And then he said he promised to follow up with the innkeeper to make sure he settled his debts. I'm sure that inconvenienced his schedule. You know, there was a story one time where a Bible college professor, they were studying. He was having his preacher study the passage on the Good Samaritan. And he orchestrated this experiment. He had one of his students break down with a flat tire. It purposely, they flattened his tire on the side of the road. Not one of those Bible college students stopped to help because they were on their way to Bible class that day. And so instead of being late to Bible class, studying the Good Samaritan, they just passed the guy by with a flat tire. All right? You know, they might have understood the words on the page, but the truth of the text was nowhere in their heart. And you know what? I'm as guilty as this as anybody. My life is chock full. My life is scheduled many times to the minute. We need to be ready. When God gives us an opportunity to do that which is good, do that which is right, do that which is glorifying to Him, what does the Bible say? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to take that opportunity. We need to be ready. Now, lastly, I close with this. It's not a point, but this is a wonderful comfort. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. This is tremendous. So number one, I said tonight you need to be ready to share the hope of Christ. Number two, I said you need to be ready for war. Number three, ready to hear. Number four, ready for Jesus' return. Number five, ready for prison and death. Number six, ready to preach the gospel. Number seven, to do good works. And lastly, not so much a point, but as an encouragement. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And His wife hath made herself," what does it say? Ready. You know, I am so glad. You know, when you look at your life under a microscope, you realize how flawed you are. When you look at your life, the closer you get an object to light, you see the imperfections. And folks, I think part of preaching is that from a distance, we all look good. We all look better than our neighbor. But as we draw closer to the light of Christ, we realize how flawed and imperfect we are. And you get a message preached like this, and you're like, oh man, I'm such a wretch, I'll never be ready. I've got good news, folks. In all of that, in all of our faults, in all of our foibles, and all of the things and the imperfections of our life, the Bible says that one day, when Jesus comes back, we will be ready. You and I will be prepared by the Almighty God for the wonderful and glorious day of the wedding feast of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is, what I'm encouraging is this, is Jesus Christ is working in your life. Jesus Christ is preparing a bride for Him. Talk to Diane right now. She can tell you all about that, all right? It's a lot of work, a lot of stress, a lot of preparation, all right? Folks, Jesus is working in your life. Jesus is working to get you ready for Himself. Work with Him. Allow Him to work in your life. Allow your heart to be pricked. Allow yourself to go, oh, I blew it again. But grow from it. Learn from it. Be encouraged by it. Because God is getting you ready. Folks, we need to be ready. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Lord, we thank you for the challenge from your word. God, I thank you, Lord, my heart was pricked. And Father, when you gave me the message, God, help me, oh God, to be ready. Father, I pray for the folks here, Lord. I believe they have a desire, a hunger, Lord, to be ready for you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in our preparation, Lord, and in our awareness of what you're doing in our life. And Lord, the opportunities that you give us. Father, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We will have a verse of invitation. Brother Rod, what hymnal are we on?
Number 377.
377. If you all stand this evening, hymn number 377.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow.
Sing one more verse.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him all the way.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you for coming out tonight. At this time, I'm going to have Brother Rod come, or if you want to do it right there, you can come and dismiss us in prayer. Everyone have a great week. We'll see you on Sunday in Sunday school. Amen. Don't forget time change Sunday.
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the message tonight. And Lord, I pray.